trading a Jeff for a Joey. This is the Jeff Blair Show with guest host Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Vendetta in for Blair. On Twitter at Radio Vendetta. Although I may go Twitter free today. Oh, I don't know if I'll be able to handle it. Our crack production staff today. Derek Brandeo handling all the audio that you hear. Travis McKenzie lining up the guests, taking your calls. And Tom Lee, who I just met, who brought some baklava in for everybody, which I still call balaclava. He brought baklava in. Why'd you bring baklava in? It's like, why don't you just get sugar, tilt your head back, and pour it into your nostrils? It's 9:02. Nice day today. If you're a duck. -2 with lows of -6 later in the week. Sunny next couple of days. 0 today, down to -6 tonight. Vendetta's Vicious Vibes. Today's top topics. Raptors win. Leafs play the Hurricanes. Jim Harbaugh is going to get paid to go to Michigan. After his boy, Ray McDonald, is donezo. Man, San Francisco's a mess. I mean, what a mess. Will Myers to San Diego. How about Los Padres? On the come. Matt Kemp going there. We'll talk to Kevin Barker later on about some of these deals going down. We will also have Matt Devlin to recap last night's Raptors win. It was never in doubt. Even like they do the same thing over and over. Especially against teams that are far inferior to them. They kind of sleepwalk through the first half. And then by the fourth quarter, you're like, it's over. Speaking of over, 2-12, two teams tonight in the NFL Thursday night are the Titans and the Jags. The only reason to watch this game is if you have a gambling problem. Because if you bet on this game, you have a problem. And what about the Grizz and Spurs last night, triple OT? We'll have some audio from that when we go with the tail of the tape, what I like to call big audio dynamite. And then we'll take your calls. Are the Raptors the favorites in the East right now, this moment, in your mind? Are they the favorites to win the East? And if you're the Leaf general manager, now you become the Leaf general manager in this scenario, who's your number one priority, unrestricted free agent? Mike Santarelli? Dan Winnick? David Booth? Of course, I haven't mentioned them yet. Cody Franzen, who, as I said the other day, is going to get paid. Let's not even forget Corbinian Holzer and Trevor Smith. Leafs got issues with the cap. Our next guest has no issues with the cap. He has a fine look. One of my favorite guys when I go to the Air Canada Center and otherwise. You know him as the Big Daddy. Mr. Bob McGill from Leaf TV. How are you, sir?
Joey, I'm fantastic. I heard you talking about the weather. You must be a little chilly there, California boy.
Now, you know what? It's not. I actually, when I visit here, I am so prepared for it just from the standpoint that I know it's cold here. So my brain is okay with that. It's when you're somewhere that's supposed to be warm and it drops down to, you know, a frigid 7 degrees Celsius or 10 degrees, people go into panic mode, right? They got parkas, yeah. They got Uggs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So no, I'm fine with it here. I actually like it because it's a bit of a change, right? And I'm a seasoned guy. So whenever I'm here, I enjoy it. I love it. And I love the people of Southern Ontario and going to Leaf games, going to the Air Canada Center and, you know, sitting in the press box and the media is some of my favorite guys just from the standpoint of how sour some of them are, right? And you're not that guy. You're the opposite.
And how about this one? Is it great to be a sports fan in Toronto right now with the Raptors and the Leafs? Like, wow.
Well, I filled in for Tim and Sid yesterday, much to the chagrin to a ton of people on Twitter. But anyway, we got past that. And so the one of the questions was, in recent memory, can you remember a time when it was a better time to be a Toronto sports fan? And, you know, you look at what the Raptors did last night against, look, the Nets are, Brooke Lopez is out, Garnett's out, but they still got some shooters. And they played a decent game, and they brought it to the point where the first half was kind of, you know, entertaining. They were leading, but I mean, the game's never in doubt. The Raptors are just so deep right now, and they know they're going to come back. And it's just incredible to watch a team that is that confident and knows itself so well. And Kyle Lowry just continues to bring it night after night after night. You know, even last night when Terrence Ross really wasn't hitting like he normally is, You know, Williams wasn't, but Patrick Patterson brought it. Hit a couple of, you know, big shots. Hit a couple of amazing threes. So you're not really worried about it with this team. And look, the Leafs are in Carolina tonight against the Hurricanes, and the Leafs, they're still that I don't believe it from Leaf fans right now. Why should they believe it with this team in its current incarnation?
Well, I think the big thing is that, you know, this year they've shown that they've got some depth. And not only on, you know, I'll start with the blue line. I mean, you don't have to look any further than when you lose a guy like Roman Polak, everybody's like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen with the back end? Well, Corbinian Holzer has stepped in. Well, he's played 10 games. He's got three assists in the last three games. He's plus seven. So he's stepped in and done the job right there, and that's a good thing. And that shows that you've got some depth on your back end. But, you know, up front, I mean, the addition of Santarelli and certainly Daniel Winnick. You can throw David Booth in there, who scored the winning goal, his first as a Maple Leaf there the other night. You know, these guys have made major contributions. And let's not forget the return of Leo Komarov, even though he's out of the lineup right now with that concussion problem. But I just think the depth of this hockey club, you know, speaks volumes of how far they've come along in a short period of time. But, you know, tonight is one of those games where you just talked about the Raptors beating the teams that they should beat. And that's the thing here tonight, is this is a team that the Leafs should beat. But that building in Raleigh, North Carolina, hasn't been favorable for the Maple Leafs over the years. But it is a night where I think the Leafs, they get Carolina at a point right now. They've lost six straight games. They're in the Connor McDavid sweepstakes right now. Maybe this is a good time for them to roll in there and continue what they've done to a lot of good teams of late, and that's pump them for a few goals, because this team can score.
Okay, so they've had a ton of home games, the Leafs have. We know the World Juniors open the exhibition portion anyway on Friday, Canada-Russia at the Air Canada Center. And the Leafs visit to Carolina, as we know, they are the worst hockey team in the league. But it's got to be a good entree into the road heavy slate that they have coming up, right? The Leafs have the chance to secure their longest winning streak in 10 seasons. And, you know, being 19-9-3, they played just twice on the road while going 10-1-1. So, look, it is a little bit of a challenge, but they're 2-2-2 in the last six games in Carolina compared to with the 9-1-0 record, like you said. This is a team that now has a high confidence level. You can see it on the ice, and that confidence level, I think, springs from a myriad of reasons, not the least of which is your point of the depth. Because I won't harp on it, but you know, you go back to last season, and you were a guy that made his living in the NHL, you know, playing, but you fought a lot. You were a guy that came to the defense of your teammates, and we know that having, you know, Fraser McLaren and Colt Knorr on the team made Phil Kessel bigger when they needed that toughness, you know, from one line. But this is a team now that has guys like Dan Winnick and, you know, even Dion Phaneuf, guys that stick up for their teammates now. And there's no need anymore. And the entire league, as you know, has gone in a direction where there aren't just guys that are enforcers. Other than, you know, McGrattan, who doesn't play in Calgary. At the end of the day, you can't really name a pure enforcer now. It's over. And
you're exactly right. I mean, those guys have become dinosaurs now. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, that's a tough job. You know, and those guys earn every penny that they make. When you see a guy like Perros retiring, and as you said, with Fraser McLaren and Cole Knorr no longer with the Maple Leafs now, I mean, those guys have been pushed out of the league. But you know what? This team has got some swagger going right now. And the big thing is, you know, we use the word confidence in sports, you know, very freely. But I think it's the most important word for an athlete. If you've got confidence, and the Maple Leafs are brimming with it as far as that's concerned when it comes to the offensive side of things. And I think that that's something when you're going and scoring and when you're a goal scorer and you feel like you've got that confidence, your game, you know, continues to evolve. And I think that you don't have to look any further than a guy. Look at Nazem Kadri, you know, how he's taken his game to a new level this year. And I think that, you know, it's imperative. Can he still dangle and do things? Well, we saw that the other night with that beauty goal that he scored against the Ducks. But yet he's, you know, Carlisle is putting him in a position where you got to play some defense, young man, because we're putting you up against the other team's top centerman over the last few games. And he's responded with it. I mean, Santarelli has brought another dimension to that line. And it started with Bill Komarov, but now you've got Winnick in there. And, you know, you've got a bunch of different guys that are, you know, coming to the forefront. And I think that's something where if something happens where you need somebody to step up physically, there's guys that'll do that. And, you know, as you said, I don't think there's the intimidation factor has been taken out of the game with those tough guys being removed.
Look, you've got a dilemma with this team, and I said it off the top, and I'm going to take listener feedback, and the phone lines will be open, of course, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or star 590 on your cell phone, or you can hit me on Twitter right away, at Radio Vendetta. And they have a dilemma. They have multiple dilemmas, Bob, and our guest is Bob McGill from Leafs TV, and the dilemmas are in the form of, okay, forget Nazem Kadri, who's an RFA and is playing the best hockey he's played as a Maple Leaf, no question, because he's playing on both sides of the puck, and you know how important that is, having played in the NHL. You know, a guy that Leaf fans don't see, I think, that might be one of the best guys in the league at playing on both sides of the puck is Anze Kopitar. Not to compare Kadri to him, but his game is a hell of a lot closer to that than it was last year. So Mike Santarelli, Dan Winnick, David Booth, Trevor Smith, Corbinian Holzer, Cody Franzen, all UFAs at the end of this season. I don't envy Dave Nonis, because there's going to have to be decisions made here. And it was funny, I said on the air yesterday that Cody Franzen is going to get paid based on his stats. I think Cody Franzen can get $6 million a year. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. You know, he's making 3-3 this year, and he's the best offensive defenseman on the team, and we know that right-handed shots are at a premium. So what do you do if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs with that many pending UFAs and guys that are contributing? I mean, even Booth scored a big goal the other night against Anaheim.
Yeah, you know what? It's an interesting dilemma that they're going to have to, you know, that's coming up. There's no doubt about it, because, you know, they're up against the salary cap as it stands now. Is it going to go up a little bit this offseason? I'm sure it will, but not enough in that you're going to be able to sign all the different players. So, I mean, there's going to be some hard decisions to be made. Can you move a player that's on a high salary that's still under contract for a couple of more seasons to free up some money somewhere? I know that there's been rumors around about Joffrey Lupul a little bit, maybe being a guy they could move to, you know, free up $5 million right there. But I think the biggest thing is when you talk to Cody Franzen, and I guess, you know, if you can get him signed to a decent dollar figure before he hits unrestricted free agency, because if he goes to July 1, I agree with you. I think he's going to end up with a close to between $5 and $6 million a year. I don't think there's any doubt about it. When you look at PK Subban's numbers and him making $9 million, Cody at $6 isn't such a bad deal, is it? And, to me, when I look at Santarelli and Winnick, I mean, these guys are very key contributors to your hockey club. And, you know, these are guys that I think that if you can sign them or extend them before the season's over, if the price is right. And, you know, I guess sometimes, too, you have to look at the player themselves. You know, is it going to be greener on the other side? Or have I found my team where this is my niche, where look at how much ice time I'm getting? Look at the responsibility I have with this hockey club. Am I going to be happy with making $2 million a year for 3 years, or am I going to go to unrestricted free agency and make more, but then you go to a team and then you don't fit in? So that's there's lots of contributing factors, Joey, but it'll be an interesting dilemma. But right now, I guess it's one of those situations where we like, as Leafs Nation certainly looks at it, where these guys have played key roles so far, and we've got lots of hockey to play still. So, let's hope it doesn't get broken up before things get better.
And speaking of things getting better, the team since Nashville has played very well. Still, you know, Randy Carlyle, we got to tidy some things up, as we discussed the other night at the game, getting outshot, but it's really about quality scoring chances and the types of scoring chances, and kept a lot of stuff to the outside. But Jonathan Bernier making 40 saves, Kessel having two goals in the, you know, in the final 5 minutes. He has six in his past eight after he went a little bit cold. Van Riemsdyk had a couple of assists. But Jonathan Bernier has firmly reclaimed the number one spot. Not that it was ever in doubt, but it was a little wonky at the beginning of the season. And now Bernier has found his groove and playing the kind of hockey that Jonathan Bernier needs to play for this team to be successful. I will give full credit to James Reimer, because talk about a guy that was, you know, put through the ringer and not respected per se, and kept his mouth shut, thought he was gone in the offseason, comes back, and he's played pretty well when called upon. So now we're back to the Leafs having a great starting goalie, a pretty good backup goalie, and everyone contributing. But Bernier really is, forget everything else, Bernier really is the key to this team going deep in the playoffs, because I don't know if they're ever going to be a puck possession team or a Corsi darling team, right?
No, you're right, Joey, and it doesn't matter what league you're playing in. You've got goaltending is critical, and especially if you're going to go anywhere in the playoffs. And you're right, I think that Bernier, he had a tough start to his year, and I think it was maybe the lingering effects of that off-season sports hernia surgery, and maybe him being a little cautious, to make sure that it was 100%. He's found his groove right now. He's been excellent over the course of this streak right now. And you need two goaltenders. I mean, that's the plain and simple fact in the National Hockey League today. With the back-to-backs, with the 3-4s, you know, the way, you know, you, the travel and whatnot, you have to rely on two goaltenders, you know, to win games for you. And I'm going to give James Reimer props too, because, you know, after the two games where he gave up six in Buffalo, he gave up six against the Predators in relief of Bernier, it looked like he was, wow, like what's going to happen with him? Well, over the course of the nine consecutive starts for Bernier, I watched him day in, day out at practice, and he worked his tail off. And when he got that start in Detroit, it showed. He was swimming a little bit at times in that game, but he comes up with the victory. And then on Saturday against the LA Kings, he played terrific in that game. He was much more in control and got the job done. But then Bernier, just look at how calm and cool and collective he is. And I really believe that he's got that edge back to him the way he had last year. You saw him perform in his first couple of years in Los Angeles there, even though he didn't get many starts because of Jonathan Quick. But he's a goaltender now that I think is starting to prove that he's capable of carrying the ball as the number one guy for a hockey club. And, for people around Leafs Nation, they love James Reimer, but I think Jonathan Bernier certainly is a guy that has proven through the season so far that when you need a goaltender to come up with critical saves in big games, he's going to be the guy to move forward with this team.
Tonight, it's the Leafs, it's the Hurricanes, and before we let you go, 20 minutes after 9 o'clock, 7 days before Christmas, Vendetta in for Blair, Bob McGill with us. Before we let you go, look, the Hurricanes are 8-9, 19-3. Been outscored 18-6 in losing six straight games, all in regulations. They've dropped 13 of 16, okay? Is this a trap game tonight? Is this a classic Toronto Maple Leaf trap game?
Oh, it is, and that's what scares me. Paul Hendrick and I have talked about this on numerous occasions. When you look at the schedule and you see how well they've been playing, and you look at the teams that they've beaten in the last in this run right now, I mean, it's been unbelievable. The Red Wings a couple of times, you know, the Kings, the Ducks, Tampa Bay, like, I mean, all these different clubs who are top-notch teams or top-tiered clubs in the National Hockey League. You've got one of, I think the club that's got the least amount of points in the National Hockey League coming in here or going tonight, and on a six-game losing streak, you hope that they don't, look ahead any further than the first 20 minutes of the hockey game, because it is a trap game. But I think that this club is mature enough now, and And, you know, Randy Carlyle spoke of it the other night about even though they've won, he said things have been slipping. And he kind of caught their attention yesterday at practice before they left to go to Raleigh. And I think that they've got it on track here. And then I expect that they're going to come away with a victory and keep this thing rolling tonight.
Big Daddy, thanks a lot. We'll hear you on the air. We'll see you on Leafs TV. And tonight, 7 o'clock, puck drop right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, thanks for doing this. And our 7 days before Christmas, Bob, are you ready for Christmas? It doesn't seem like Christmas. I say it every year, and it's getting more pronounced. Maybe it's because I'm old and sour. Well, I'm not sour. I'm just old.
Yeah, you come back for Christmas to the cold. I'm going down south for Christmas. The family's heading to Florida, so it should be fun in a couple of days. To relax and unwind.
Where are you guys going in Florida?
Down to the Fort Myers, Naples area.
Are you going to pull your pants up to your nipples and complain about the government full time?
Not a chance, man. Love every bit of the heat.
All right, pal. Thanks a lot for doing this, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Joey.
All right, Bob McGill, always a pleasure to have him on. 22 minutes after 9 o'clock, Joey Vendetta in for Jeff Blair at Radio Vendetta on Twitter. And Bob Hartley extended. We don't know the extent of his extension. He's pretty proud to be part of this organization. You got to remember, right? Brian Burke didn't hire him. And Feaster hired him, and then Feaster's gone. So it's interesting to see that they extended him because Calgary hasn't been playing their greatest hockey as of late. So that extension, I'll use the term curious. Now, Hartley is a guy that is polarizing when it comes to players. And knowing some guys who played for him who didn't like him, it seems like he's kind of found his groove in Calgary and, you know, maybe dialed it back a little bit. And this is a guy that, you know, won the cup in Colorado. So we know that he can coach. Now, mind you, you know, the team that he won the cup with was beyond stacked, but you still gotta make the right moves. And you know, in his third season, this is a guy that could become one of the longest-serving coaches in Flames history. And the deal done by the GM, Brad Treliving, you can see that these guys can work together. So we have a couple of clips here. The tail of the tape, as I like to call it. Bob talking about how this is a great day in his life.
It's a good day. I'm happy that we can do this on the day off because tomorrow is going to be back to business as usual. But, you know, like I am thrilled. A couple of years ago that I felt that this was the biggest challenge of my career, and I still believe it.
It is a big challenge. When you look at that lineup, it's amazing that Calgary has played the hockey that they have. And as I said, in the last, you know, last 10 days or so, not exactly setting the league on fire, but he still thinks, and we know that guys say what they got to say, right? You're not going to say that, hey, we just want to be competitive. Everyone says they want to win the Stanley Cup, and I don't know how necessarily realistic that is for a team like Calgary, but, you know, still have a winning record, 36 points, 17 and 14. And here he says that his goal is for the Flames to win the Stanley Cup.
We all dream about the end result, the ultimate goal, and we all know what it is. It's to win a Stanley Cup. But there's a process, and I feel that over here, like, we have a good grab as a group about, like, the direction that we need to go.
So Hartley getting an extension in Calgary, and you look at the longest-serving coaches in Flames history. You know, Bob Johnson was behind the bench for 5 years. And, again, this guy was hired by Jay Feaster. And Feaster was fired, you know, 2 years ago, actually almost to the day, December 12th, 2012. Jim Harbaugh is a very polarizing figure. I mean, Harbaugh's a guy that is hated by some people and has had a rough season. A very rough season. I mean, San Francisco, if you would have said at the beginning of the year that they'd be out of the playoffs, no one would have believed that. But reports that Michigan, right, Harbaugh says a week ago, I want to stay in the NFL. That's what they all say. And Michigan fires Brady Hoke. And right away, the speculation begins. Harbaugh is going to make bank in Michigan. Right? Think about this. The Niners are set only in college football, U.S. college football, big-time college athletics. Can you get a guy that is on the downslope in the NFL and at 7-7, you know, has a year left on his contract? Jeb York, the owner of the Niners, and Harbaugh, button heads. I mean, you got the general manager's daughter tweeting that they should fire Harbaugh a few weeks ago. Or sorry, fire the offensive coordinator, not Harbaugh, but it's tied to Harbaugh. So $8 million a year is what he might get at Michigan. He'd make more than Nick Saban in Alabama, who makes $7 million. You know, and Les Miles, who is at LSU and actually played at Michigan, says, nah, I'm not interested. And then there's the Raiders, who are very interested in, but Raiders are going to clean house. And who can blame them? They're terrible, as Charles Barkley would say. I mean, if you look at this, if you look at standings, the Raiders are just absolutely horrible. So they're going to have to clean house. Be interesting to see where Harbaugh ends up. But when you look at, you know, this week, the Raiders are 2-12. But tonight, the Thursday night matchup is just, that's one of those ones when they made the schedule, you're kind of like, yeah, that's going to be a good game. Maybe not. Titans, Jaguars tonight. That should be at an animal shelter because it's a dog. Still to come on the show over the course of the next 2.5 hours or so. Joey Vendetta in for Jeff Blair at Radio Vendetta on Twitter. We will take your calls on whether you think the Toronto Raptors, who spanked the Brooklyn Nets last night, they didn't hammer them, but they pulled away at the end. Whether the Raptors are, in your opinion, are they the favorites in the East now? In your mind, are the Toronto Raptors the favorites in the East? You know, Williams has 18 last night. Looked a little ragged at times. Kyle Lowry, 17. 95-82 win. They got some tough games coming up, but still a couple of patsies with the Knicks in Detroit. So you know they're going to win those games. 19-6. 19-6, the Toronto Raptors. Are they the favorites in the East? We'll take your calls. And then we'll take your calls on the Leafs are in a predicament. They've got Santarelli, Winnick, Booth, Franzen, and Holzer, and Trevor Smith, all unrestricted free agents. If you're the Leafs general manager, who's your number one priority? On Twitter, at Radio Vendetta, your opinion. Would love to hear. Roy Loheed says, free up $7 million to sign Franzen. Trade Phaneuf. See, I don't think you can trade Dion Phaneuf. I think it's tough to trade him because of his salary and term. And he's also your captain, and he's playing well. The whole team's playing well. You free up a lot of money. But it's going to be tough to make that trade. We know that. We're going to take a break and come back and talk to Travis. How do you pronounce his name? I knew it was Renault, which was a fine automobile. Remember the Renault? But it's not spelled like the Renault. Renault Lavoie from TVA, who's a pretty animated character, will join us. We'll talk NHL. We'll talk Habs. And we'll talk French-made cars with him. I'm sure he's an expert on that. Maybe not. What about the Peugeot? Any of you guys ever drive a Peugeot? Anybody listening? If you drove a Peugeot or if you have a Peugeot, I'd like you to tweet me a picture of it at Radio Vendetta on Twitter. 931, Joey Vendetta in, zero today, down to minus six tonight. Sunny next couple of days, minus two with lows of minus six, 7 days before Christmas. We'll be back in a moment on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Hi, this is TK Subban, and you're listening to Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Man, Jay Cutler has just had it rough. And by that I mean, he's benched. They gave him a $126 million contract. He's married to that hottie from the Hills. Kristen Cavallari? Rocket. A member of NASA. Jay Cutler has been benched for Jimmy Clausen. Well, at least now you know who the Bears' backup quarterback is. Jimmy Clausen. He played in Carolina before Cam Newton rolled his truck. I still say the Bears blew it because they could have had Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, who's a way better quarterback than Jay Cutler or Jimmy Clausen.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
That's a man of conviction. Or he's been convicted. Our next guest at, I can't even hazard a guess at as to how to pronounce your Twitter handle, Renaud Lavoie of TVA, at Journal de Montreal, which I'm horrible at French, so let's just get that out of the way. But if you want to speak Italian, Renaud, I'm down. Can you tell people where to follow you on Twitter? Because you have 98,000 followers, almost 100,000 followers. You would have 200,000 followers if it wasn't so hard to spell your Twitter handle.
You're totally right. It's really easy. You can go just Ren Lavoie TVA. That's it.
Okay, Ren Lavoie TV. All right, I got it. Okay, before we start talking about specifics about hockey, a friend of mine, and I imagine you know him, has taken over in running the arena in Quebec City, Benoit Robert.
Yeah.
And he's saying all the right things, and he's being very politically correct. He's a very good politician. When are we going to see a hockey team in Quebec City? Because that rink's going to be ready September the 15th of next year. I know they're working on Celine Dion to open the building, but they're going to move, if I'm not mistaken, the Q team there, right?
Yeah.
So when are we going to see an NHL team in Quebec City, and how ready is Quebec City for NHL hockey?
Quebec City is close to be ready because when you think of it, by buying the Quebec Ramparts, now they have their own people who can sell season tickets and obviously game tickets. So that's already there, and it's a good news for Quebec City and the possibility of having the NHL one day. I always thought that expansion will be the way to go for Quebec, but I changed my mind after Seattle went down the drain, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And but now with the possibility of Las Vegas coming in the league, I won't say next season, but maybe in two or three years, well, here's your chance right there. The bottom line is it's easy for us to speculate, but my understanding of the situation right now is speculation is going in the office in New York, too, in Gary Bettman's office, because at this point, we don't know for sure how it's going to turn out. Obviously, people are looking at the Panthers as a possibility to move to Quebec City, but when you talk to Vincent Viola, who's the owner, there's no chance it will happen. When you talk to Gary Bettman, there's no chance it will happen.
Well,
but
yeah, of course
there
not.
There is a but.
Yeah.
There is a but. They're asking for $80 million for the next 14 seasons. $80 million totals to the Broward County. And is it going to happen as of right now? I don't think it will. Can they change their mind between now and maybe May? It's possible. They need a report to be presented to the commissioners of the Broward County. If the report is positive for the Panthers, obviously there's a chance the Panthers will stay. If the report is negative and they don't want to give any money to Mr. Viola, well, what's going to be his reaction? And I don't think the NHL knows exactly what the reaction will be. They're committed, yes, to South Florida, but right now they're losing a lot of money, and that's a real problem.
Speaking of Florida, did you catch that 20-round shootout last night, the longest shootout in NHL history? I think Roberto Luongo passed out halfway through it. 20-round shootout. Nick Bjugstad scores the winning goal, and Florida beats Washington. I mean, there had to be nobody left in the building by the time Bjugstad scored.
Well, that's the first thing I checked. Was there anybody left? And yes, there was people
okay.
in the stand.
Okay, that, other that, than the trainer and the coaches, who was left in the building?
Yeah, you know what? It is exciting. It is exciting to see a shootout. Every time I'm saying that fans in their own building, they're up when there's a goal. They're up when there's a fight, and they're up when there's a shootout. A 20-round shootout, that's a long shootout. I don't know, maybe at some point people were sitting, but it is exciting. I know in the NHL there's a lot of people who play the game or managing the game. They just don't like shootouts because they think it's not part of the game. But when you look at all the penalty shots given year after year, it is part of the game, and I like the way it is right now.
Renaud Lavoie is our guest from TVA Sports. And Renaud, I had people hit me on Twitter, my Twitter handle, @RadioVendetta, and was asking people if anybody had driven a Renault or had a Peugeot. And we got a guy named Justin Steinbucket who says, my sister's boyfriend has a Peugeot. They are too fun, but you look silly. Do you have any opinion on the Peugeot as an automobile, and have you seen one recently?
Well, my mother's from France, so obviously I had to go through the country to Europe a lot in my life. So I had the chance to drive a Renault, a Peugeot, a Citroën. Do you know the Citroën?
The Citroën with the hydraulics?
Yes,
right?
Sir.
The back end goes up and down. It's like it's humping the earth?
Exactly. I've been through all that. But you know what? I still prefer my GMC truck, to be honest with you.
Spoken like a true hockey guy, driving a truck. Do you have kids?
I have a daughter. I have a daughter, and she still loves the trucks. She's 10 years old, and she doesn't want me to get rid of the truck, so we're still sticking with the truck.
Okay, so, Renaud, let's talk about the team that you're very close to in Montreal and the Habs and the season that they're having. This team, you know, Galchenyuk having a trick the other night, moving him to center, his natural position. The Montreal Canadiens, what are they lacking as a team, in your opinion? They have goaltending, pretty even lineup. You know, defense-wise, P.K. Subban munches a bunch of minutes. Markov's played very well, brought up the right young players. And it just seems like this team, to me, to go deep in the playoffs, is missing something. And I can't put my finger on it. In your mind, what are the Montreal Canadiens missing? And the Eastern Conference, as we know, isn't the Western Conference. Different type of hockey, right? A little bit more finesse, a little bit more speed. You know, Toronto Maple Leafs, the most exciting team in the NHL to watch right now. But Montreal, also a very exciting team to watch.
They are. When I look at the Montreal Canadiens, and right now, I'm not going to use the word it's an issue, but remember, Nathan Beaulieu was supposed to be a regular on that lineup. And right now, he's coming along. But we're in December, middle of December, and he's playing his best hockey. I'm not going to use the word it's about time, but I think that they were hoping that he would play better in October and November, but he had to be sent down a couple of times during those 2 months. So I'm happy to see the way it's working with him right now. It's still on the fifth and sixth defenseman. Now Mike Weaver is going to come back from a concussion. Is he going to play tonight? I don't know. Is he going to play during the weekend? It's a possibility. But to have Mike Weaver back, it's important because he's blocking a lot of shots, and he still can be an important player on that blue line. But I think Mike Weaver didn't play the way he played in the playoffs last year and at the end of the season. So they want him to find his game, and I hopefully things are going to be better for him starting right now and until the end of the season. Brian Allen is a good defenseman, good stay-home defenseman. But you know what? I just hope the Canadiens are going to be patient with him because that's the type of player you need during the playoffs. We're all saying that the East is different from the West, and it's true. It's true. But when the playoffs start, it's a totally different game in the East. Even in the East, it's a different game. So, and it's more a dump and chase kind of game. And Montreal will need a guy like Brian Allen and will need a Mike Weaver to be on top of the game, of their game. Because if those two are not finding a way to be better right now, maybe Marc Bergevin will have to do another trade for another defenseman. And that's a lot of trades right now for these and Montreal. So in the minors, the players who are there are going pretty well, to be honest with you. I like the way the Bulldogs are playing. Maybe there's help right there. Charles Hudon is burning the league offensively. I hope one day we're going to see him. Is he ready to play in the NHL? I don't know, but I think he's going to be impressive. And they have a lot of good defensemen in Hamilton, too. So I know yesterday I was in Brossard watching practices, and there was a lot of my colleagues were already speculating about making trades. They have a lot of good forwards right now. It's time to trade Lars Seller. Hey, boys, time out. Why are you going to give any of your talent to another team for I don't know what right now? It's really a dangerous game to trade players when things are going well. You never know what's going to happen, first of all. Second of all, it's a team. You look at the Canadiens, injury-wise, they're kind of free this season.
Mm-hmm.
There was some bumps and bruises. Players had to miss game, but no major injuries. And we're in December. There's still a long way to go.
Before we let you go, we just got about 15, 20 seconds here. Jean Béliveau, your take on the funeral, the arrangement. It looked beautiful and completely classy.
It is a classy organization. They're doing the right way. And tonight, it's going to be Sakou Koivu's night in Montreal. They're not going to retire his jersey. So and it's another event. It seems right now that week after week, there's an event at the Bell Center. What happened with the Béliveau's family last week was just magic. And tonight is going to be another special evening for Sakou Koivu. Deserve all the credit right now for what he did with the Montreal Canadiens.
Renaud Lavoie, thank you for doing this. At Ren Lavoie TVA on Twitter. See, I finally figured it out. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's to you, your daughter, your wife, your GMC truck. Thank you very much for doing this.
And same for your family. Thank you. Take care.
All right, man. Joey Vendetta, 9:53. We will be back. We will talk Raptors. Big win last night. Are they the best team in the Eastern Conference at 20-6? I know record-wise, but are they going to come out of the East? We'll answer those questions and more with Matt Devlin when we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.